Hello dear listeners, welcome to another episode of the Partido podcast where we talk everything Aleti. So Aleti are back in the top four in La Liga. Aleti have an advantage after beating Borussia Dortmund 2-1 at home at the Stadio Ada Metropolitano, and tomorrow Aleti take on Dortmund at the Signal Iduna Park. So join me to talk about all this is football analyst Abel Mezaros. Abel, how are you doing?
Yeah, great. Thanks for having me on. I've recovered in terms of, it was a late call in terms of fitness. And I was forced to miss the first leg last week, but now I'm happy to report that I'm back.
Well, it's good to know, have you back and have you fit, because, you know, like footballers, and when we are not 100% fit, it's kind of not good for us because we cannot like do things effectively. So I'm hoping this time you are like 100% fit and not like the Marcus Reus fitness where you come and then it's like a weekend.
Yeah, it's probably better than, yeah, I think it's more maybe like Jadon Sancho, who's, I think, you know, he had to miss the game this weekend but against Gladbach, but he seems like he's better. Sebastian Haller is the one that Dortmund are going to miss because he took like this pretty horrible knock to his ankle in like the second minute of the game, and you know, was forced to be subbed off, and his season's now effectively over. So that's a pretty big miss for Dortmund. Obviously, if you saw the first game, but even in general, like the West on Niklas Füllkrug's form. So that's probably an advantage for Atleti in terms of not really having to deal with Dallaire.
Yeah, for sure. Because when he came on, I think basically Brands was the one who kind of changed the thing, how things were in the first leg, because Aleti were 2 goals up, were defending deep, and they were comfortable. And then when Brands came on, everything kind of changed. And we don't want like kind of identifying Aleti's right hand side as a weakness, because Molina is not having his best of seasons. And then from there, everything changed. And then Haller came on, and then you have like mistake from Molina, and then he was quick to pounce, and then that was basically 2-1. And not having him in the second leg, like you said, is an advantage for Aleti, because it implies that Dortmund will not be able to, like, let's say, take out Füllkrug and then bring in Haller, should in case, let's say, Füllkrug is the one who should start tomorrow's game. And hopefully Haller can have a speedy recovery, but at the moment it seems it's like an advantage for Aleti.
Yeah, so like Füllkrug's numbers, like the last goal I think he scored for Dortmund was in February 17th, so about 2 months ago. And he scored the one goal for Germany. But, you know, this is despite of him like starting every game. So, you know, for Champions League contender, like finally. So that's just to kind of tell you the form that he's in. And like there were a lot of calls, I think, even before the first Atleti game, that Haller should be at least starting or in contention. And the problem with that is that, like, you know, now there's not like, Moukoko is sort of the third guy, but it's a completely different profile. And I thought it was interesting, like, the way Dortmund approached the first game, you know, just from like, to give you kind of a more of a framework for this game. Like, I thought it's a really, like, Simeone is obviously a really bad matchup for Terzic and Dortmund, because it's like they have like more experience at this. Not just the dark card stuff, but the actual, just like the footballing wise, where, you know, like Dortmund, a lot of times, like I know you mentioned as well, like you analyze their games and it's like there's very little that sort of like repeatable patterns. But they do thrive on kind of chaos and kind of intangible things, which is definitely true of Atleti. But they just have, you know, like 7 quarterfinals in 11 years, right? So, and as you saw, like, you know, the weak points of Dortmund were like pretty easily identified. So Atleti just did the high press, and which, I mean, you know, like Dortmund, even like Hoffenheim, which isn't having a good season, like they've done that, and Dortmund's build up has been like much maligned all season, right? And they always do the 4+1, and then Matson comes inside, so they do like a 3+2. But they basically don't really have anybody with a lot of press resistance in this season, since Guerrero, Jude Bellingham, and if Brandt is not in there, which he wasn't in the first game. So it was a strange case to start Mecha. I guess they wanted him to be more like a physical presence and work against the ball. And but you know, I think that first 35 minutes was, well, I don't want to say like they were definitely surprised, and a lot of times like it just seemed like kind of a comedy of errors between Hummels and Schlotterbeck. But it's also like they shouldn't have been surprised, like given how often this has happened, you know?
Yeah.
So like it was, you know, like they don't have like a goalkeeper in Kobo who isn't really like that great. And technically Schlotterbeck is press resistant, but he can, you know, like he's not like playing up to that level. Hummels, you know, for like all his heroics, like this season, Champions League and everywhere, like he's had a pretty shocking game. And I mean, Mattsson, you know, like that he's probably been the best defender, but in terms of like on ball, but it's more because of his bravery, you know, and he sometimes he'll do stuff that's kind of too much. And yeah, like I think the other problem I think Dortmund have had in this game is that like what I mentioned is like the very little of this is like patterned. So like even that first goal that DePaul scored, it was just like, you know, Emre Can didn't seem to be ready. Like he was moving in the upfield when the pass was sort of played to him. So it's like those kind of automatisms don't really work for Dortmund. Like they might work, but like against any kind of semi-serious defense, it just falls apart very quickly. Like that's their main issue. Is that like basically in these kind of settled phase of play, like basically open play that isn't sort of chaotic transition, they're just a very average team, and a lot of time they get by with individual talent, or like when play breaks down, or if they get like an Adeyemi, or you know, one of their amazing like Jamie Bino Gittens, who's really good this weekend, like they get one of these really really good one-on-one players, then they can do a lot more.
You mentioned a lot of things, because it was quite interesting for the first leg when the game kind of started, because I think Aleti were kind of aggressive from the get-go, but now when like the press wasn't successful, and then the Dortmund were like kind of like able to circulate the ball and kind of like begin, circulate the ball in such a way that the ball goes if Aleti kind of press, then there will be space opening up in the midfield. Aleti kind of like drops it into a 5-4-1. And then Aleti kind of like tempted Dortmund to like use the wings. But now I think Hummels and Schlotterbeck were very, I would say, a little bit intelligent in the fact that when that all passing option was available, they kind of like delayed and not take fall into the bait, because if they do that, then Aleti kind of like swam. Because Aleti have had a lot of success this season at home when they press, it's like using the wings as like traps. That was very
Yeah, when they white traps, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was successful against Las Palmas and this weekend against Girona to an extent. So it was quite interesting, because I was like, wow, that means Dortmund are aware of those white traps. So I think the first time in which I think I saw impatience was from Schlotterbeck, where he kind of like went long to, I think it was Sancho, and then he kind of led to a throw-in. But I think apart from that, Dortmund were, like you said, they were not a little bit brave on the ball. And then also, for you talk about the goal comes, you said it came from Can was like basically moving off you, but that was the second. I think that was the second time in which that play kind of happened, where Koke was on the inverted left back, and then he kind of like played a pass. And that, I think the first occasion was Sabitzer, and then Sabitzer now to the right back, and then back to Hummels. And I think on that occasion, I think that was where Depo, where the pass was coming, Can was not prepared, but that was like the second. I think it was a good read of play from Rodrigo De Paul. And it was quite surprising that it seems to me as Dortmund were, I would say, a little bit like playing for, like, yeah, we are a go down, but they were not really risky. And I think you talk about this, about Hummels, and then it's about his passing, and now it's not so, like, great in terms of, like, progressively and the rest. Because in that game, if you notice, a lot of the times when Dortmund were trying to be, like, progressive, like, maybe trying to pick out the light of Adeyemi or Sancho, and Aleti's white centre-backs were, like, kind of aggressive them and win back the ball. The next sequence after that, the center backs, or be it Emre Can, or even the midfielders, they were kind of like a little bit hesitant to like pick out that pass. So it was kind of like a risk averse. And I think it was maybe in the second half when like Aleti had tired legs, and then the press, then Aleti kind of dropped deep. That is when you kind of see maybe Dortmund trying to, like, let's say, okay, yes, maybe we can nick a goal here, and then let's not give a lot of chances on the counter-attack. That was when you kind of, like, see them get into the game.
Yeah, like, I think in general, like, I've written a lot about Hummels's decline from, like, a ball-playing perspective. And I think, like, this season's been, in general, like, a huge success for him, but it's more like the sort of, like, old-school defending stuff that he was always great at. Like, with the ball, I think the biggest limitation now for him is the right foot, which, like, used to be, like, you know, his name is, like, outside, Mr. Outside of the Boot. Like, that's kind of how he's known on social media or whatever. And he just never does that pass anymore, you know? And then, like, he does a lot of these little, like, dump-off passes with his left. Like, if you watch the Stuttgart game, there was a few where, like, he kind of, like, on his right, and then he switches to his left, and he just sort of breaks the first line a little bit. But other than that, he isn't really, like, hitting anything with his right. And Flutterbeck can definitely do it, and you know, you can do the raking pass to Rierson. But the problem is with a lot of these passes is that, like, even when they happen to bypass a line, they don't, like, nothing really comes of it, you know? It's not, like, sort of coordinated to the sense that, okay, well, what happens next, right? You know, it's not like, you know, and it's very rarely, like, kind of splits the lines in, like, dangerous positions. Often it's, like, on the wing where Atleti kind of want them to play, or, you know, it will just be, like, a long ball that hangs in the air, so you can kind of shift over to that. So that was my issue. And you know, like, and then they often drop back Emre Can, which, again, like, doesn't really, like, it doesn't necessarily get them that much. And particularly when then you have, like, the 3+2 with Madsen, who, you know, like, he's definitely interesting there, and he's brave, but almost like he's out on an island. And then Zabitzer isn't really, like, you know, like, you want him to kind of run behind, like he did against Gladbach for the goal, or, like, do a lot of industrious work. And he's generally good at that, but you don't really want him kind of, like, facing pressure with his back to the goal. And that's where you would probably want Brandt to play. I mean, but they don't really have, like, another profile in that sense. And I think it's interesting in general. Like I was thinking about this before, how, you know, the first Terzic season, I mean, like, last season, so, because he had been in a room before, but the first full season, I thought, like, a lot of their success was actually, like, with the ball, with having these low fullbacks, which you saw a little bit of against Gladbach as well. But they had these really, really, like, simple patterns of, you keep the fullbacks low, and then you pass it out, and then that ball comes to the half space, and it's usually Brandt or Bellingham, and then they lay it off or make a turn, and that fullback is free. And okay, if they lost Bellingham, obviously they don't have Guerrero, so they've lost a lot of pressing resistant players. But I thought it was interesting that, like, they basically can never execute that pattern anymore, you know. And you'd think that even with the Sancho, you could use that as, like, a half space guy who could turn against pressure, but it doesn't seem like he's definitely there yet. Adeyemi is capable of it, but for him, it's more like he needs to be the one going with the ball. Like, he's not going to be the one who's going to execute a perfect layoff. But I just think that it's very rare that they actually, like, execute that to pressure. And it seemed more that it's like a thing that Marco Rosa drilled into them, and they were using that with Terzic. And now, like, this season, it's you know, I mean, whatever build up patterns that Terzic has, which are, like, kind of hard to determine at this point in terms of the reliability of it. And, you know, I mean, like, they have a few of these where they like, they bring Füllkrug deep, and then they make those kind of runs, and that's been successful a few times. Or if they, you know, Füllkrug drags out center back, and eventually they can follow him, and then he's the one they bounce it off of. But it's like, you know, maybe happens 1 out of 20 times, and those other 19 times they end up losing the ball.
Well, like you said, Abel, it's quite really, like you said, difficult to, like, kind of picture what they do, because, like, watching the Stuttgart game and also watching Atleti game and then watching the Gladbach game, it's like watching, like, three different teams play, because you don't actually see, like, you said, repeated patterns or, like, what they are trying to do, because there are a lot of, like, you say different thing or kind of, like, improvisation with the play coming from the players when they have the ball. And it's kind of tough, because in that game against Gladbach, like you mentioned, is it help me if I'm wrong here, is it Bionne Gittens?
Yeah, Bino Gittens, yeah.
Okay, yeah, it's kind of Bino Gittens. And then you have a lot of times where he was like the one like helping with the progression, where he like from deep position driving into midfield. Yeah. Then you have now the play being switched to like the left hand side, which was like the unloaded side, and then Dortmund could like kind of like push Gladbach into the final third. So, but now against Stuttgart, it was like a different position. So it's kind of like depending on who plays and then his skill set and how maybe he sees the game, maybe that's how we are going to approach the game, which is kind of like tough, especially given that you are in the Champions League and like you mentioned that experience is also count, which is also something that this Dortmund side kind of lack, because like you said, Alexia has made it 7 out of 11 times in the quarterfinals playing against Aleti, which like an experienced manager, most of the players at Aleti have been playing at the top level of Champions League for a while now. So this Dortmund side is quite young, and then not having like repeated patterns and maybe kind of learn a lot of improvisation against some of the experienced guys like Witzel, Jimenez, is kind of really tough. Because if you can recall in the first half, there was basically no situation even where the likes of Adeyemi and Sancho were one-on-one with Aleti's fullbacks.
Yeah, it never happened, yeah.
Or even wingbacks. It was basically a 2v1 or a 3v1 with Koke. You know, we could kind of like reading the situation and then acting like it's plus one and trying to like make sure that Dortmund have an advantage in those situations, which was kind of bizarre. Because I think when Sancho was there, like kind of talk about him like thriving when he has and like someone overlapping, and in that case that was Hakimi when he was at Borussia Dortmund. But now yeah, he was up against on the left hand side against Llorente and Molina, and on the right hand side when he swapped wings with Adeyemi against Lino and Azpilicueta. So it was like a 2v1, and I'm sure if maybe he had someone like kind of overlapping him, that kind of maybe takes away a player and then creates maybe a 1v1 for him. And as we saw, he kind of had some success, but his cross was not really the best. So it's kind of tough because you don't really know what to expect from Dortmund. But I think what we can say heading to the second leg will be that Aleti have an advantage. And if there's one thing we and I know about Simeone is that obviously it's an advantage, so he would obviously prefer sitting and then hitting Dortmund on the counter, which I think he is quite confident that there will be a lot of chances. Now the only thing that would depend will be basically if Aleti can convert the chances and what Dortmund can do with the ball. And I'm also sure Brands obviously starts the game, which will obviously pose a problem for Aleti.
Yeah, I think like the way I want to frame it is that like the game plan is much easier for Atleti, right? And like, because they know like they don't necessarily have to be protagonists. They can just play probably a back five, or like, you know, maybe similar to the first game where Lino is kind of advancing on that side and, you know, get them in those counter situations. And, you know, Dortmund kind of has to be the instigator in this game. And there's more unpredictability, like we mentioned the sort of Füllkrug situation. But now I think there's like, you know, two more factors. And I agree with you that Brandt has to start there, like two more factors, which is like Bino Gittens has been, people have been kind of going rightfully that he needs to start. You know, like he basically had, I think, 7 of 8 take-ons until he was the one who was sacrificed for Adeyemi's sending off. So he definitely made like a case for himself in terms of, particularly because like he can break down a low block. You know, I mean, that's the thing is that I think Adeyemi can do it, but ideally you want him in space, right?
Yeah.
And now Malen is the other one who you know, missed the game to an illness. And he, you know, he also came on. So I think he's definitely a candidate to start. But then you still have Sancho. So it seems like, you know, at two for four places. And, you know, I think I would imagine that it will be, I mean, probably like a Sancho with Malen maybe, and then like bring in Adeyemi and Bino Gittens as when they're kind of chasing it. I think that's probably how Terzic is going to go with this, and you know, play Brandt as the sort of 10/8, if it's, you know, 4-3-3 or 4-2-3-1, depending how you want to look at it. But everything, like, but I think it's I think the thing that Dortmund can kind of hope on are like usually these kind of intangibles, is that they have the massive crowd and this sort of, you know, I think that definitely we saw that in the first 30 minutes that it matters at the one. It certainly matters in Westfalenstadion. It's a really tough place to play. I don't necessarily think like there's anything else in terms of, you know, Dortmund's favor. I mean, they rested Hummels, which is good, and you know, I think Madsen only played one half. So like, you know, they tried to use that game, and to be fair, like they were in terms of, they won away from, you know, almost one half 10 men. So it's a very good result. It's just like basically like kind of the same story for Dortmund, is that when you kind of look at the performances that they've had, it's like this leaves a lot to be desired. And I think even though that like the games against Stuttgart or Gladbach were actually like, I think, pretty decent performances, all things considered for Dortmund. But I think that's the issue, is that those are now like sort of decent performances. Or even like the Atleti one, if you kind of take away the first 25, 30 minutes where they couldn't get a shot, like, you know, and later on, like it was definitely hairy for the last, you know, 20, 30 minutes there. So I think that's probably the takeaway, I guess, or the way to think about it, is that, like they need these kind of things to overcome. And I think for Atleti, that's the biggest question, is like, what do they do when, you know, when, like, I think they're, I mean, you could probably tell more about these questions that like, what they could just previously used to be able to ride these games out. And now there seems like there's more doubt with like last couple of seasons for sure. No.
Yeah. Like you said, okay, Atleti have issues, which is basically like seeing games out. And then those issues stem from the fact that Atleti don't have the likes of Godin, the likes of Juan Fran, the likes of Miranda, players who were elite at box defending. So Atleti have like these new guys. For example, you have Witzel, which I'm sure you know him from his time in the Bundesliga as a DM. And now he's playing as a center back because he doesn't have the legs to like play as a DM. And each time he has played as a DM, Atleti has kind of considered a lot of goals from late runs to midfield because he cannot track back. And then you have Jose Maria Jimenez, who is basically the only one who is like an elite box defender. Apart from that, the likes of Savage have been declining for a while now. It's true, from time to time you have him putting up very top class performances, but it's not consistent. Then you have Azpilicueta. So you kind of see that Atleti's back line, the issue is the back line has needed like a change for a while now. But then the board have been ignoring it, because Atleti are not like the best or the most well-run club in the world. And then given that we have Simeon, which basically guarantees Champions League football, and maybe for time to time we kind of fight for the title, Atleti are basically kind of like in a yo-yo type of sense where, for example, Simeon is asking for a midfielder because Atleti don't have like someone who can cover a lot of ground and a ball winner. And then they are basically buying Otto Vermeulen, who is basically like an 8, or we can even go for as far as saying as a 10 because of his unique passing and also dribbling, but like the kind of offensive type, but not so much the type who can cover a lot of ground and help Atleti. So you kind of have like this at certain times, like there's a conflict of like who wants what, because at certain times you have like a signing is basically from the board, another signing you can say, oh, this is Simeon's player, and another signing you are like, maybe this from the sporting director. So it's like they are not on the same ground. But then again, Simeon extended his contract in December, which kind of prompts me to think that some certain promises must have been made for him to be able to extend, because it was basically the first time ever in his tenure that he has come out in public to ask for a player. So that kind of says a lot of things. So Atleti's issues are basically with the squad. And the thing is, when they were recruiting, his squad kind of fits like playing like a three at the back, which is, I'm sure if you watch the Girona game, you kind of notice that when Atleti were playing a flat 4-4-2, you have a lot of like difficulties.
Yeah.
But now when they kind of switched to the like a back five, a back five or back three,
then it became better.
They became better. So it's down to the squad we have and also the things. Then also this team, okay, kind of like needs to be like the protagonist, because if you watch the Girona game, it's true, yes, we kind of like saw out the game and we're comfortable, but when this team were like trying to be on the front foot, high press high, have the ball, that's when they were at their best. But when they started, when we dropped deep and like we're trying to see out the game, you noticed that there were some like mistakes. Like
for example,
if you can recall that Zubek, Dovbeck had a very great chance and it was like an almost an empty pole and he missed that. So the team is not so good in defending as a low block. And that is an issue now for Simon because he feels comfortable like in seeing out games in defending in a low block or like without the ball. But now this is a team which is not like built up for that. So that's been the issue.
Yeah.
I think gradually he has been trying to evolve. Really, like, let's have a lot of the ball. And I think the next stage of the evolution has to be with how can we defend with the ball, given that we don't have a lot of like box defenders and the rest. Then the bad thing is also that you have guys like Savic, you have guys like Molina, guys like Llorente, even to a certain extent, Azpilicueta, guys who are not so comfortable with the ball. So if you look at the little, if you look at the back line, it's only Hermoso and Witte, which you are confident that can do well under
pressure.
But now if you look at the rest, it's like, let's hoof it long, the least pressure. The first leg, there were certain moments where like Dortmund played a pass into the half space. Aleti were like the white center backs were aggressive, in this case Azpilicueta. When he wins back the ball, there's an opening in midfield which can launch a counter-attack, but the next thing he do is to hoof the ball long. So you kind of have this situation where it's like he wants to build something because he also brought in Nelson Vivas, who was basically like we can I classify him as like part of these modern coaches, like the likes of Alonso, Xabi Alonso. And I'm not saying he's at that level, but he's him coming to Aleti kind of like changed the way Aleti play thing. Aleti play football because he's coming coincided with the title winning season where Aleti were like a mid block side with the ball. You kind of have like taking risks, overload in the build up to like switch play to Llorente or Trippier on the right hand side, and then we can arrive in the final third with advantage. So you kind of have him, he's coming to Aleti coinciding with how Aleti are changing to play football. So there are a lot of things I believe Cholo and his staff want to do, but I think they are kind of like limited with what they have to work with, and that's thanks to the board, which is basically behind there. And most who don't know Aleti, the board kind of like limits a lot of the things I believe Cholo can do. Because to be honest, Aleti, if we had like better center back this season, I believe we are fighting for the league title. It's true, Aleti are like kind of very poor away from home, and that's the fear I have going to the Signal Iduna Park. And I'm sure everyone watches the European football or even the Bundesliga know of the yellow wall and how the atmosphere in that stadium is. And now you also have Aleti's away record, which is basically not the best. So I think that's an advantage, in my opinion, which Dortmund have. And I will not be surprised to see Dortmund go through, because Aleti are a team which basically away from home choke out, or they cannot even play football. So, Abel, the next question is, obviously, I'm sure we are expecting Aleti to kind of like sit in a mid or low block and then Dortmund have the ball. How do you think Terzi should like basically try to like exploit this, given that Aleti will be in a low block? We see more of the same as we saw in the first leg in the last 30 minutes of the game.
It's hard to say, like, just because, like, I think that the probability of maybe Atleti, like, maybe high pressing a little bit in the beginning, but it's like they really don't need to. Like, I think I understand why at home you want to do that, because they absolutely like nailed the match plan for the first 30 minutes and they're up 2 goals. But I also understand the disadvantages of, as you mentioned, like, you know, they're not like your father's Atleti of defending in a low block. So maybe they could, I think the more likely is that they just sit in the mid block and play with a back five and, you know, or like situationally 4-4-2, and they kind of just, you know, shift across there. And I think that's like a reasonable approach against Dortmund, because like they had a lot of trouble breaking down those kind of teams. So I think that's probably how it's going to go. And like, if I'm Atleti, I'm trying to just, you know, maybe make the Dortmund center backs beat me, you know, so you kind of sit off of them and, you know, you compact, you close down the middle. I think you're probably okay with like Rierson having the ball on the wide on the left, and probably don't even like need to jump in with Lino or whomever. But what you really want to do is like focus on those, like you want to basically intercept those half space passes to Malen, Brandt, Sancho, and make sure that your like Koke or your six rotates over there, or usually like the your free eight, whichever one is sort of available there. Like you would probably focus those efforts, and then at the same time you probably also want to jump with your center backs on those like deeper receptions when they come out. So like I think that's because like there's not really like, especially with Füllkrug now, like there's not really like a threat to run behind. I guess Adeyemi is a little bit if he plays, but Sancho doesn't really run in behind. I mean, Malen can do it, but it's not like sort of a massive part of his game. But I think with Atleti, like the biggest thing you want to do is kind of just control the tempo without the ball in the way that you stay compact and you know you don't allow these kind of transitions, and Dortmund aren't really like able to generate these transitions. Like I think the Stuttgart game was interesting from that sense because there were like a lot of transitions. But Stuttgart isn't really like a team that like cares so much about out of possession. Like they have a pretty simple scheme and try to kind of, you know, obviously they do pressing, but it's like it isn't like the strongest part of their game. And whereas I think Atleti, like even if they aren't like sort of as good as they were and don't really do it in the box, like they have enough like veteran players from Morata to Griezmann to like Azpilicueta to Witsel to know that where they don't have to, you know, where they can just stay in like a mid block and kind of keep everything in front of them. So I think like you really try to play that mid block and I mean even if you end up in the deep block, I don't necessarily think it's the end of the world. I mean, yes, Füllkrug in the air is kind of an issue, but and we saw the last 30 minutes and as a problem for sure. But I don't know. Like I think and then also like probably as you mentioned is like trying to do some of the defending with the ball. Like I know it's, you know, not the most obvious thing with the players that you have with Azpilicueta or Savic. But like I don't know, like I still think like from the outside perspective there's enough sort of ball playing ability and footballing ability between like Depaul, Koke and Griezmann and then obviously like Witsel and then Mosso where you should be able to like return, because also like Dortmund isn't really a special team out of possession. Like they're pressing, I mean you watch the Stuttgart game, like it's very easy to play out against them. If you can just like do some basic things, like you know, you provoke Sancho or you pin him with like a fullback, and then you run somebody in behind. Like I think Dortmund's pressure, because a lot of times they are also like afraid to commit too many, so most often they keep like a back five with Emre Can shielding, and then they kind of try to press with like a front five. So especially if you have, you know, a back three with like Koke and then you have goalkeeper and then two wing backs, you should be able to like bring the ball out and get some things there, and obviously Griezmann coming in deep, so you should be able to get those kind of things against them. So that's actually probably what I would do is try to have that possession which baits the pressure, and then use Griezmann, coming deep, and like send the Llorente in behind, or send, you know, Molina or Lino on the other side. Like I think that's probably like a way to exploit Dortmund, because in that's the, like Hummels has made a lot of those great defensive tackles, but still, I mean, was never really fast to begin with. Schlotterbeck, you know, he's got like great ability and really everything, but you know, definitely capable of making those kind of mistakes. So yeah, I think it's probably a little bit of a mix of things you're describing.
Hopefully, like you said, Atleti can basically do that, because there are moments where Atleti kind of like have certain possession, and then when the ball kind of falls to one of those who are not so good under pressure, then you have like a pass to no man's land and everything like kind of gets out of control. And I'm hoping Atleti, wise enough, like you said, experienced players not to get sucked into an end-to-end stuff, because firstly, we are away from home, and then with the home crowd behind Dortmund, if that happens, then is that bad news for us. And Aleti will obviously be missing Lino in the second leg, which is basically kind of a huge blow. And then, like, the difference between having Lino and Riquelme is kind of huge, because Riquelme is like an exciting player, but you have like this kind of exciting, I would say, like a playmaker who basically operates in the half spaces. And you, I'm sure you know a lot about that, given that you recently wrote an article about the number 10s and the rest. So he's kind of like that profile. But now, you know, having Lino, who's also like have that energy to go up and down, and Riquelme is kind of like a liability when it comes to defending. In the game against Villarreal, which Aleti won 2-1 away from home, surprisingly to most, he was kind of targeted and Cholo had to like take him off at halftime. So it will be interesting to see if he starts there or Cholo kind of opts to go with Azpilicueta.
Yeah, I don't feel like this is like the game for him that he needs to play. Like, you can always bring him in when you're like, you know, if you're behind. Like, I mean, I think if I'm Simeone, I'm just kind of like playing the same lineup as in the first, mostly. And just using Morata, and then just, yeah, like Lino as an outlet. And I liked Molina as like I thought he played very defensive, but I liked him. Like I was kind of shocked that I looked up the Sancho numbers and he had 12 take-ons and 5 of them came off. But I didn't really feel like Sancho had like a huge impact on the game. You know what I mean? Like it's a weird kind of you know, like somebody having 12 take-ons and 5 of them succeeded and you know, like I thought like Adeyemi it was like a lot more of an obvious impact in that sense, but. I thought like it was like almost like Sancho was kept in check quite well, if I want to be kind of honest with you, and yeah, it was I think it's like it sets up nice for Atleti, but at the same time, like that's what Terzic's tenure has been about in a lot of these ways, is like just somehow, some way, like kind of finding ways to win these games where you're not really sure, like how it happens.
Well, as a little fan, basically, I've experienced that before. You have the Real Madrid, and Zidane, as most call it, black magic or whatever. But well, hopefully that doesn't repeat itself. So, Abel, second to the last question, what do you think like will be key in this game and like the deciding factors, and then your score prediction?
Yeah, I think like probably the key will be I would say like how the Atleti sort of center back wing back combination does against like the Malen, Sancho, Adeyemi, you know, Bino Gittens quartet. Like, I mean, obviously probably only two of them will play. I think more than anything that will be the key. Because it's just sort of where Dortmund can, it's probably, I think, where Dortmund have an advantage, because it's not like, I like Molina, but as you're saying, like, he's not having a great season. The center backs are not like great defensive center backs, I guess, as Azpilicueta used to be, but you know, he's a little bit older now. And they're mostly like on ball stuff. So I think it's just one of those things where can Dortmund get those where, even if it's like an Adeyemi beating two guys, like it's certainly within the realm of possibility. So I like that. I'm going to actually, like, for predictions, I'm actually going to go for like a 2-1 Dortmund win, and then like penalties. And then I don't know what happens at penalties, but I'll go with that.
Fair enough. Sorry for putting your defense, and hopefully that is not the case, because I don't want to experience another penalty shootout after what I experienced against Inter Milan. And away from home can be quite tough, especially with the yellow wall behind Borussia Dortmund.
Yeah.
For taking time out on your busy schedule to come to the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Thank you. So, guys, remember, nunca deja de creer, never stop believing, and see you next time.